Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
What is that?
Yeah, it's a World Cup holder.
Like the soccer tournament World Cup?
Holder. For the world. Fits every car, holds every cup.
It has a Carvana logo?
Yeah, Carvana made it. They buy and sell cars, so they made a car cup holder. So, got any good cups lately?
Yeah, used to. I just couldn't figure out where in the world to put them.
The World Cup holder. Brought to you by Carvana. Proud sponsors of the World Cup holder.
Sign up today to win yours at cup-holder2026.com. Not authorized or endorsed by FIFA. Not a real product. For parody and fair use purposes only.
And welcome in to the Friday edition. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning. Hope everybody's off to a wonderful start to their day today. Joe, we just got back on the air yesterday, and it's already getting close to the weekend. How about that?
Hello?
Hello, are you there?
Do you have me?
I do.
Yeah, okay, now I hear you. That was one of the weirdest. I didn't hear anything you said. What'd you say?
I said we just got back on the air, and now we're close to the weekend. How's that feel?
Yeah, it's a strange time. A strange time. Here on Robbie and Rex Road and in the world. Yes.
It's no doubt about that. Keyser, how are we doing? What's going on?
What's up, brother?
I'm doing great. Glad to be here with y'all going into a very short, good work week. But yeah, just vibing, man.
Yeah. We got treated to an absolute barn burner last night between the Bears and the Seahawks. I will freely admit that I did not watch 1 second of that game, and I'm very glad that I didn't. A nice 6-3 final. Last night on Thursday Night Football, the Seahawks and the Bears. The Boo Birds coming out in Chicago, Joe. Bears put up 3 points on offense. They dropped to 4-12. If memory serves me correctly, I believe they were 4-2 at one point this season and have now lost 10 consecutive games. So shout out to the Chicago Bears.
I mean, it's like I didn't watch it either. So good call by us. But I saw, you know, like the replay of like Caleb Williams looking like, I don't know, like he wanted to leave Chicago for good, which I can't blame him. Yeah, I mean, they were 4-2, and I think that's when they were about to be 5-2 at Washington, right? I believe that's right.
It was either that or like the next week. I can't remember, but it was pretty close, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, more, you know, like as I've always said, you know, My fandom may have wavered in the NFL, but my hatred for the Chicago Bears has never wavered. So, kind of liking it.
I can only imagine how excited Al Michaels was for that call last night of the 6-3 final. You know, there's been some doozies on Thursday Night Football anyway. Now, there have been some good ones. I mean, you know, Packers-Lions a few weeks ago, really good game on Thursday Night Football. We've had some good ones. But I would imagine that Al Michaels' excitement level was off the charts for that one last night.
Yeah, someone should come up with like a top 10 like least enthusiastic calls from him from that game, like on like, you know, 1 yard losses on 2nd and 10 and stuff like that, you know. I'm sure that'd be awesome. Yeah, that's it, by the way. That's it for Thursday Night Football. So
yeah.
You know, kind of it's I love that we're moving toward the postseason and exciting games and everything, but gosh, then you start thinking about all that time with no football.
Tough time for also last night for executive producer of our show, Pat Narduzzi. 6 overtime loss by Pitt against Toledo last night in the Game Above Sports Bowl. Toledo a 48-46 winner in 6 overtimes. Pitt thought they won the game twice in overtime. Did not happen. But 48-46 winners for Toledo last night in 6 overtimes. Joe, we got to do something about this overtime stuff in college football. It's incredibly annoying to me that this 2-point conversion contest that we delve into is just ridiculous. There was nothing wrong with college football overtime, at least in my opinion, the way it was before. And then we had like one game between Texas A&M and LSU go 7 overtimes, and everybody freaked out, and we felt like you had to change the rules. And so that one time that we had a game go to seven overtimes, we've gone to a two-point conversion contest. And I think it's the stupidest thing on the earth. Like, it's that the fact that that decides a football game, and I get it, nobody cares about the game above sports bowl, but even like Georgia Tech this year, it's so stupid in college football that we've gone to a two-point conversion contest in overtime.
It's completely asinine. You switch sides, you know, for each two, and you at least you didn't Georgia Tech. I don't know that they did that yesterday, but also you get the timeout. So Kirby, you know, in that game is calling his timeout every time. I mean, it's asinine. You know, a lot of things got to change. And I mean, how many years have we had this? I know we had the Penn State Illinois game, and we had this for since about what, 18 or 19? Has it been that long?
I don't even know if it's been that long, but it's been. I know. I mean, the Iron Bowl had it 2 years ago, right? With Milroe and them on the road.
Yeah.
Or was that 3 years ago? That may have been 3 years ago when Bryce Young was the quarterback. So it's been around for a little bit, yeah.
I mean, Penn State, Illinois had the, whatever they had, a nine overtime. But again, yes. It's like not nine overtimes. It's, you know, it's 7 2-point plays. It's stupid. It really, really has to change. And I hope that, I mean, there just has to be more momentum for it. I've heard, you know, I know some people tell you like player safety is often cited, and you know that's great. Player safety is important. Let's also acknowledge that this sport is now making teams win 17 games, like an NFL team to win a national championship. So it just falls on deaf ears. Now, if you wanted to do something like maybe move it to the 10, I guess, you know, to try to make it a little faster after the second overtime, okay. You know, but that's at least play football, have a set of downs. I mean, give me a break here.
I mean, am I wrong? Like, was there anything wrong with the way it was done before? Like,
oh, it was fantastic. It's a great overtime.
Yeah, like most of them were done by like the second overtime, maybe the third. And then we had the one go to like seven or eight with Texas A&M and LSU, and it took forever. And it's like, okay, well, that's happened like one time in the last 15 years. So is that really going to be something that changes the policy moving forward? Because now we get these six overtime, seven overtime, 2-point conversion contest all the time. I thought the way that it, I remember the conversation used to be, Joe, the way that college football overtime was set up, which was you start from the 25, you just play it straight up from the 25, the first two. And then by the third one, you got to go for two. If you score the touchdown, like people were talking about the NFL should adopt that overtime policy.
Right. No, this is if they want to go make it go for two from the start, that'll probably end some of them, you know, in the first overtime, like end a few more of them on average in the first overtime. If you make the teams go for two from the start, why not do that?
Yeah.
I mean, this is one of those things where it's like, and of course my mind is, you know, on this whole home sites thing for the playoff, which, you know, it's just going to bother the crap out of me. You know, the next 2 years, but no, this is one that they really need to, now that we've all kind of, again, got more of a taste this year of how stupid it is, we got to change it.
Yep, no doubt about that. So congratulations to Toledo for getting it done last night in the, what bowl was that again? The Game Above Sports Bowl. Yes. How could I forget? The Game Above Sports
Bowl. Yeah, well, it's the Motor City Bowl. You know, it's the Little Caesars Bowl. It's the one in Detroit, whatever the sponsor is now. Yeah, I got to say, man, Narduzzi, they got third and one, and they had a sweet little play where it's just a little play action, like the tight end throws, and it's just the easiest touchdown to win in this. I guess that would have been the second overtime, right? It had to have been, yeah. And then on fourth and goal from the one, just go for the win against Toledo, and Narduzzi kicks it. I mean, that's. I know I've seen some message board geniuses had a nice collage of what Pitt fans are saying right now. You're at the 1 yard line. I mean, that's on the place where Dan Campbell coaches every week, and you're at the 1 yard line and you kick a field goal to go to the third overtime against Toledo and you're Pitt. I mean, that's toughy.
I mean, hey, how about Arkansas State getting a 38-31 win last night in the 68 Ventures Bowl against Bowling Green? Butch Jones gets Arkansas State to 8-5. How about that?
Brick by brick, Arkansas State, here they come.
I thought he was going to get fired like by the second game this year, but he got him to a bowl. I mean, you know, Arkansas State's on the rise, apparently. All Butch needed was a little NIL money down there, and They're getting stuff cooking at Arkansas State.
Is that the deal? Are they
I have
got
no
a nice
idea.
Collective going?
No
okay.
clue.
All right. Okay.
I know
that makes
about
sense.
Three
It sounds
people
good.
that have gone to Arkansas State, so I would assume that maybe they're heavy contributors.
Yeah, our guy Mickey. I get. You know,
yeah.
Is he excited? Is he contributing to the collective? I need to know.
That's a good question. That's a good question. But I would assume that Butch Jones is probably safe now moving forward. So, like, I thought he was going to get fired like three or four different times over the course of the last 2 years, and he never did. So maybe he's on the rise here. Could he coach himself back into a Power Four job? Who knows? God, I hope so. It'd be hilarious.
Probably not. But you know what? I mean, you know, that I was, you know, Rich Rod is at West Virginia, so nothing's impossible. There's of course a tremendous history with Rich Rod at West Virginia, including a lot of bitter history at the end.
Yes,
but he's done. I just don't know that Butch has done anything at the Power Four level, you know, to warrant him getting that look at some point. But you know, hey, it's possible.
Yes,
just keep winning, Butch.
Some more bowl games this weekend, and then it's Tuesday night, New Year's Eve, before we get to the second round of the college football playoff. Penn State, Boise State coming up on New Year's Eve, and then on New Year's Day, Texas, Arizona State, Ohio State, Oregon, and Notre Dame, Georgia all taking place. So a lot of bowl games this weekend, Joe, including the Birmingham Bowl with Vanderbilt and Georgia Tech. We'll get into that a little bit later in the program. Teron Davenport will be with us at 8 o'clock. So a lot more coming today here on the program. Pigskin Pick'em coming up at 8:30. Not really a great week for any of us, but I've got the updated standings. We'll do that a little bit later in the show. Coming up next, an interesting point raised by Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com about the future of the Titans quarterback position. We'll get into that. Take your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keiser here with you on this Friday morning. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts on the Titans. And a lot of talk about the next quarterback for the Titans, Joe. We've talked a lot about some veteran quarterback options. We've given some thoughts on some potential options in the draft, which we will continue to do, I'm sure, over the coming weeks and months until the NFL draft actually gets here, which is like 4 months from now. So a lot of talk coming up, Joe. Looking forward to that on the quarterback front as it relates to the Tennessee Titans. Going to be a lot of fun here. So a lot of speculation as to what the Titans are going to do and what that could look like in the draft, and some interesting thoughts that have already started to trickle out there. TD has put it out there, and we'll have TD on our show a little bit later, and we'll get more specifically into this. But he's put it out there that, you know, from some of the info that he's gathered, the only quarterback that they would take is Shedeur Sanders. And we've talked a lot about him, Shedeur Sanders. Out of Colorado, expected to go really high in this draft. There's Cam Ward. Those are kind of the two quarterbacks right now that are generally viewed as the first-round quarterbacks in this draft, Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward. Now, could that change between now and April? Yes. Will it change between now and April? Probably. So we'll see what happens on that front. But Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com had an interesting take on any decision that the Titans have made on the quarterback front as it relates to the draft right now. Yesterday on his Paul Kuharski podcast, here's what PK had to say on that front.
If the Tennessee Titans have made any sort of decisions about this quarterback class and about what they're going to do quarterback-wise moving forward, that is really a disqualifying element to this whole thing. It is Christmas week with two games left. They're supposed to be a collaborative organization. And while the scouting side can be somewhat far along in this process, coaching staff can't be involved in it to this point at all. They're busy trying to hold this team together with twine and produce a win. Brian Callahan has not looked for 1 minute at any rookie quarterback to chime in and say, I don't think we should go that route. Or I think Shedeur Sanders fits us, but nobody else. And so for any kind of pronouncement to be coming out about the Titans' feeling about the rookie class is foolish, considering that January and February are time for the whole staff to get together and review, considering that you meet those guys and have individual time to talk with them and learn about them. It's too early to form opinions. And also, at this stage, the coach is not involved at all. The coach who would be developing the quarterback is not involved at all. If Rand Carthon is at this stage where he's got some semi-formulated opinion of the quarterback class and what the Titans are going to do regarding the quarterback class, that's a really bad, really bad look for him and for this alleged collaboration. I don't know what the F is going on with something like that, but it's not good. It's not good at all. Doesn't bode well for this team if that's what's happening. There's a kind of timeline for all of this stuff for a reason. This guy's so good, he's that far ahead of the timeline that he knows already? Yeah, that's what we know about him. Personnel evaluations, he's months ahead of the curve. Give me a break.
So that was PK. Pretty strong stuff on the quarterback part of this for the Titans. Joe, what do you make of all this? The idea that TD has thrown out there that, you know, from some of the info that he's gathered, Shedeur Sanders might be the only quarterback they take, and PK's kind of response to the idea that if you've made any sort of proclamation on the quarterback front right now, then that's not a very good sign for the Titans.
I think PK makes great points there. Now, my immediate question as I'm listening to this is, okay, so how certain are we, or what are the indications that this is the case, that it's that strong? So I mean, I missed this. So what has TD said exactly? And of course, we're going to have him on at 8 o'clock. Do you know
he's
that?
He's put it out on social media a couple of times, just kind of responding to people. I mean, I saw one that he had, I believe, yesterday or the day before, and I'll go find exactly what he said. But he essentially said what I brought up there, which was from the information that he's gathered, Shedeur Sanders is the only quarterback that they would take, is essentially what he said. So, yeah I've got it. I quote right here. From some of the info I've gathered, the only QB they take is Shedeur. That's what TD said.
Yeah, I mean, that's I agree with Paul. I mean, you know, look, it could Ran and like Brian Callahan have at any point during the season been, I mean, they talk, of course, and it's not like when they talk, they're just talking. I mean, PK is right. What Brian Callahan and his staff have to be focused on each week is getting this team ready. But again, this almost kind of goes to my whole thing about, oh, but no one could ever have time to like go get dinner or, you know, watch a movie at any point. It's all, you better be football, and then you turn off your brain and you wake up and you break down film. I mean, you know, could Brian Callahan and Rand Carthon have had many discussions about the quarterbacks at this point? Sure. Yeah, they could have. And of course the scouts can be well along, but I would agree. Like if you are, you know, and this is, I don't want to get too much into, you know, again, the source guessing thing. Like, you know, look, scouts are part of the, you know, if you cover a team, you know, you should talk to scouts. And so, you know, like a scout, maybe a scout who's specifically been doing the work on this can have strong feelings. But again, that doesn't, I mean, what TD said does sound like it's from higher than that, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that's I think it's a very fair point by PK, if that is indeed the case, that there's some resolution at this point with so much of the process ahead, which occurred, not just the coaching staff that he mentioned, but again, I mean, just look, things change during these months ahead. They do change. And of course, the interview should be critical. The interview should be critical, breaking down film with the prospect, the visit. I mean, those things should be key pieces of information. Like I can see right now, having a first blush just from watching the football, your scouts breaking down film, you having that feeling like, you know, Shedeur is definitely, I mean, I kind of feel that way, you know, just as watching the football. But I would agree that if it's like a point, you know, TD is answering people, though he has talked to people, and if there is this resolution on this, you know, here in late December, I would have to agree that that's premature and it's silly. If someone in the Titans organization wants that out there, I think that's really silly.
Well, I mean, Pete Kay called it disqualifying. Like it's mind boggling to me that you would even have that approach if you're the Titans. Like you may even think that, right? Like if you're a member of that scouting department or if you're Carthon, like you may be looking at it right now and saying, yeah, I mean, just based on the college football season that I've watched, some of the tape that we've already dove into, like I'm feeling pretty bad about this quarterback class in general, and I like Shadur. Like maybe you're even thinking that. But like to come away with any sort of proclamation on that before you've even really begun the process with your coaching staff, where you've conducted interviews, you've talked to these players, all those things, like that to me seems, I don't even know how that would even come up at that point. Like it's one thing, Joe, at the end of the season last year, when Chicago knew that they were getting the number one overall pick, like everybody knew that they were taking Caleb Williams, right? Like when Cincinnati ended up with the number one overall pick and Joe Burrow was coming out, everybody knew that the Bengals were taking Joe Burrow. So like having yourself to, you know, to go through the normal draft process there, maybe it's a little bit different. But first off, you don't know where you're picking yet if you're the Titans. And number two, like you've not really dug into these quarterbacks with your coach, who is supposed to be a big part of, like to me, if you're keeping this coaching staff and front office together, Joe, a big part of it is, oh, well, we've got pretty good faith that those guys led by Brian Callahan can identify and develop the next quarterback. So without him having time to having done any of that to this point, it would be wild to me that that would be a conclusion that you'd come away with.
Yeah, no, yeah, exactly. Because this is a, if you're picking a quarterback, then hey, it's the same thing. And I know it didn't work out this year with Bill Callahan and, you know, offensive line personnel decisions. Didn't work out at all, but yeah, if you're keeping everybody together and you're going that route, he's got to be the most valuable voice, doesn't he? Has to be.
You would think so.
I mean, now, I understand, you know, the GM's the GM, but I mean, that's again, and I'm not saying he's Kyle Shanahan, who has official final say in San Fran, but as a quarterback picker, he's got to be the guy.
Now, I did have one other thought as it comes to this, as to what this could mean for the Tennessee Titans that I want to throw your way coming up next. We'll take your thoughts on this as well. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. If the Titans have already made a decision in terms of the quarterbacks that they would draft in the first round, is that concerning to you? We'll get more into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. The Game Nashville Sports Network, your home for college football bowl games and the college football playoff, presented by Twin Peaks and Parma Tractor and Equipment. Vanderbilt and Georgia Tech coming up later today in the Birmingham Bowl on 1025-1063 The Game and on 94.9 The Fan. For a list of games carried on the Game Nashville Sports Network, visit thegamenashville.com/bowl games. We'll get into Vanderbilt, the Georgia Tech game, a little bit later in the program today. Taking your thoughts right now, the Titans, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. So have the Titans already made an evaluation on this quarterback class coming out in the 2025 NFL draft? And if so, how concerning is that if you're a Titans fan? We'll take your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025. Joe, here's another thing that I kind of thought about when this whole conversation came up and TD kind of put it out there that the Titans would draft Shadur and maybe not as high on anybody else in the draft. Does that signal to you that they've already made their decision? And maybe they haven't identified specifically who yet, but have they already made their decision and are going to go the way I think most of us believe they probably will go, and that is identifying a veteran quarterback to bring in and bringing in a veteran this offseason? Like, is this maybe reading between the tea leaves, thinking that they could have already be leaning that way to go on the veteran quarterback route? What do you think about that?
Yeah, it could be. But, I mean, I think you could apply the same thing that PK brought up to that, right? I mean, I think that – I mean, look, man, before long ago, we were talking about when we allowed ourselves a second to talk about the draft, like whatever the case, the Titans have to go into this draft process – as if they are picking number one, and they're going to get close, but as if they are picking number one and they are taking a quarterback, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, they may, again, it is possible for an organization, for people in an organization, you know, to have the time to talk to each other about things beyond just like this week's game against the Jags. It's a big one down in Jacksonville. You know, I mean, they you know, look, everybody knows the situation. They understand the terrible record, the terrible performance, the pressure, the short-term reality of the NFL, the short-term reality of this owner, et cetera, et cetera. So I think it's silly to think that they all haven't talked, or, you know, like what Rand and Brian, Chad, Rand, Brian, you know, whoever, talking about these things. It's more understandable to have some sort of an idea of what you want to do with veterans, because, you know, these veterans have been in the league. Like, I mean, there's evaluations of these guys. They've played in the NFL, right? But I would still say, even if that's the lean right now, and you say, okay, this is the guy, we need to try to make this happen, you know, once we get to that point, I still think that, like, it's possible to be, you know, to be blown away with, there is new information that's going to come from the evaluation process. If not, I mean, think about how intensive the evaluation process of these prospects coming out is. It's extremely intensive.
Yeah.
It's not just, you know, yes, I think that is possible. Maybe this speaks to that, but I think that's a little bit premature too.
Well, look, I think the whole thing, like, if you're Grant Carthon, Brian Callahan right now, you can have an idea of which way you want to lean. But I don't know how you could know, right? Like, even on the veteran quarterback front, like, you know, who else is going to become available? Like, is somebody going to be available via trade that maybe you're not thinking will be available via trade right now? Like, there's so much more information that could be out there from now until the beginning of March when the NFL Combine rolls around, and then mid-March when NFL free agency begins. Like, we're still a long way away from that. And there's a lot that could break loose on the quarterback front that way, be that somebody who gets cut, be that somebody who's available via trade. Look, like, you know, for instance, Charles Robinson is throwing it out there with us last week that he doesn't necessarily expect that Matthew Stafford is going to be available via trade. But, like, what happens if the Rams go out here, they win their division, and then they get smoked in the wild card round? Like, what do they do after that? Are they just going to run it back next year? Do they have to take a look internally with Cooper Kupp, who he also said he doesn't expect Cooper Kupp to be there next year? So how much does that change their team? Puka Nacua. Like, there's a lot that could break loose that way with Matthew Stafford, to the point where, look, he may get to the end of the season and look at their plan moving forward and say, yeah, I don't really want to be here anymore. Like, there's a lot that could happen on that front. So, like, I don't know that I would take anything right now as just gospel. Here's the other part of this. Like, how often do we get around draft time, Joe, and we hear things coming out of a building from somewhere, and you have to always put it through the lens of, all right, well, how does this benefit the team? Like, how does this benefit them from putting this out there? Is this all smoke and mirrors when it comes to the draft and they're trying to disguise their plans? You know, I would hope we're not getting too heavily into that on December the 27th, but you always have to keep that in mind when we're talking about the draft.
Yes, for sure. And yeah, I do think, I mean, I would think that would be something more, you know, if you're really trying to do misinformation close to the draft. And, you know, look, what you hope is if you follow a team, and this is to me why I think, you know, sometimes, you know, following like local people who cover a team is better in a lot of ways. But you certainly hope that, like, they're not getting the runaround from their sources in the organization they talk to on a daily basis, right? That'd be a real problem for that reporter. So,
yeah.
'Cause I think a lot of times the misinformation stuff that you get comes from some of the, you know, the Rappaports and whatnot closer to the draft. So, yeah. And again, so to your point on the veterans, I agree. And look, there's not that, I mean, it's not like we've heard anything along those lines from inside, right? I mean, that's right. But it's just any sort of a resolution on the rookies is very peculiar at this point. I would think that would be a genuine feeling. And like, again, I watch football. I feel the same way. I think he's accurate, and I think that he's the best prospect in the draft, and maybe the only one that I would, and I'm not even sure I would with him. I don't think he's a perfect prospect, but maybe the only one that I would have any sort of comfort level, handing this thing over to. But again, I mean, my evaluation is very surface level compared to what these guys are charged with doing.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, Cam Ward, we've talked about him. I would imagine he could be one of those guys that goes to the combine and is like, wow, look at that guy. Like, if he decides to throw. Now, look, that's the other thing. Like, all these quarterbacks, how many of them are going to throw nowadays? Like, it doesn't happen a whole, like Caleb Williams decided last year. I mean, there's no benefit to doing that for him. So who knows what the combine situation is going to look like. You know, we can get into the pro day stuff too. I know Joe Rexrode is itching to go to the combine this year and give us a live report. So we'll look forward to that.
Sure hope so.
Coming up in March. But, like, I think we would all agree that when you watch these quarterbacks, a lot of them have flaws, right? Like Cam Ward, we've talked about. He'll make some spectacular plays. He'll also make some boneheaded decisions. Shedeur Sanders is really, really accurate with the ball. He doesn't necessarily have, like, the size that you're looking for from an NFL quarterback, just in terms of, you know, your prototypical 6'5", 230 guy. But how big of a deal is that in today's NFL? I don't know. I think it's way less of a big deal now than it used to be. So what does that mean when it comes to projecting what his NFL future looks like? I don't know. I just keep coming back to this. Like, if you're this specific front office and this coaching staff, like, how important – is showing significant improvement in the win-loss column next year. Like, can you talk yourself in with Amy Adams Strunk to, well, this is going to be a process and we're going to draft a rookie and it may take a couple years to get back up to being competitive? Or is it a situation next year where you better win 7, 8, 9 games, get yourself back in the mix in the division, or you're going to be toast? Because if that's the case, like, it's really hard for me to picture them going with a rookie quarterback. Like, if they've got a pretty good sense that their job is on the line, like, I still think veteran quarterback, if I was assigning a percentage to it right now, if whether or not the Titans were going to draft a quarterback that was going to play, or that they were going to go with a veteran quarterback as their starter for next year, I mean, I'm going like 75-80% in the veteran quarterback. That's just my initial read on it right now.
Yeah, I'd guess that too. Ethan from Lawrenceburg, text line driven by WilsonCanyon.com, says there's no way Amy has told them no QB in the first round, right? I would hope not. I mean, again, if you know, we're all going to wait when the season ends to see if there's either any, you know, firings or a statement from her on firings or not firings, right? Yeah. But I mean, if you're the owner of a team and your people who you've hired and are paying millions to build a football team, you tell them something like that, I mean, you're not giving them a chance to do their job.
And I mean, so if she's done something like that, you guys better buckle up because it's going to be a rough ride from here on out.
Yeah, I mean, and look, obviously, it's gotten bumpy as hell, because of some stuff that she's done. But I still would be surprised to hear that she wouldn't let the people she has hired do their job. That's the top shelf meddling owner that typically is going to have a lot of non-success.
No doubt about it. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll have more on the Titans and the future of the quarterback position coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Joe, it is kind of amazing, just thinking about this quarterback class, how much it's changed since the start of the college football season. Like, Carson Beck, everybody thought was going to march his way to a Heisman Trophy this year and to be right around the conversation of a first-round pick, maybe number one overall. Doesn't feel like that's the case at all with him right now in terms of that conversation. Now, look, is he a guy with the physical tools that I think he brings to the table that could get to the combine and maybe somebody falls in love with him. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe that happens. There was a point this year also after the Georgia-Alabama game where you're looking at Jalen Milroe and you were thinking, my goodness, like he just played like Lamar Jackson in that game. What's that going to look like at the NFL level? And then you watched him against Tennessee and he was missing some throws, like, you know, intermediate routes right over the middle. The Oklahoma game, just horrible. He was awful in that game. And there's just a lot of inconsistency with Milroe there. So the quarterback class from where things started this year in college football and to where they've now finished and where they've ended up, pretty drastically different. Like, you know, a guy that we haven't talked a lot about that is not really thought of as one of these first-round guys, but it's going to be interesting. Like, what about Dillon Gabriel? Like, what sort of a pro does he project to be? Like, there's a lot of guys that I think are intriguing here. Just a lot of them have a lot there's a lot of warts with all these quarterbacks, I guess is probably the best way to put it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Milroe seemed to regress this year, which is wild because I actually thought Kalen DeBoer would be really good for him. And actually, I thought that at the midway point of the season, we were seeing exactly that. And then I don't know what happened with him. But that's the big concern, is just missing too many gimmies, you know, and just not consistently accurate, which again, I'll put that on, just consider, think of quarterbacks as shooters in basketball, or think of them as pitchers. You know, lots of people throw 98 or 95, but can you command it? Do you have movement on your fastball? You know, that's what separates people. And so there's that. Could Beck blow people away? I guess. I think like Anthony Richardson blew people away because he's such an incredible athlete. He's a free, right? Yeah.
Exactly. Beck's not that.
I don't know that Beck. I mean, I think the film this year speaks of a guy who throws way too many bad picks. Just, you know.
But I guess what I mean with him is like he can make all the throws. Like he can put it anywhere you need to put it. Now, to your point, the problem is too often that year that ended up in the other team's arms.
Yeah, and I'm, you know, I will say like a guy like Gabriel is interesting. Just because, I mean, look, I was not enthused at all about Bo Nix, and I understand just because a guy comes from the same program doesn't mean he's the same prospect at all. I'm not saying that, but, I mean, that translated to what Denver does, and Bo Nix has been very good. And I think Dillon Gabriel is accurate. I think he gets the ball out fast, sees the field, is athletic, runs around. I think he could be one of those, you know, sleepers. I'll tell you another guy who I really think is – a legit prospect, but you know, a lot of the nation saw him not at his best, is Curtis Rourke from Indiana. I actually think that he's like, again, I mean, he's probably a middle round guy, but he's one of those guys that wouldn't shock me if at some point he, you know, he's gonna be someone's back, but at some point he gets an opportunity and he turns out that he can play. I mean, you know, and again, I'm not necessarily advocating for anything like that for the Titans. I mean, to me, you know, I've heard the theory of, you know, you take a quarterback every draft. I reject that out of hand. You know, I think if the Titans are going to go quarterback, then you take advantage of where you are in the draft. If you can get your guy, then that's one thing. But the whole, oh, well, gosh, that guy's there. Yeah, let's take him. I think that needs to end. They did that with Malik Willis. They did that with Will Levis. And then we know this franchise also has done the, oh, we're at the top of the draft. Let's go, Jake Locker and Vince Young and Mariota. But to me, that's got to be the only way that they go QB in this draft.
Yeah, like I don't really have an interest in a fourth round quarterback this year. Like, not saying that the fourth round quarterback couldn't work out, but like, there's too many other needs that you've got on your football team right now. And you already don't have a third round pick, which we're going to talk about a lot from now until the draft. Like, it would be really nice for the Titans this year to have a third round pick. And it would be one thing if you had gotten a lot from L'Jarius Sneed and you didn't care. You're like, yeah, that's fine. We'll take the not having a third round pick because L'Jarius Sneed was out there and was really good. You basically got nothing from L'Jarius Sneed. So that kind of adds insult to injury there on that front. It would be a very good year to have a third round pick. They don't have one at the moment. So we'll see if that somehow changes between now and then. And then, like, here's the other thing. You know, this is all joking aside, a critical game coming up on Sunday from the Titans from a draft perspective. Like, if you lose this one against Jacksonville, you're going to be in pretty good shape for, you know, top three pick in the draft here. So if there's, let's say somebody takes Sanders before you, like the Giants take Shedeur Sanders, and you don't really like anybody else in the quarterback draft, but there's a team below you that loves Cam Ward. Like, could you then take that and move down and stockpile some picks similar to the way, probably not the same because, you know, the Titans had the number one overall pick at that time, so it'll be different, but similar to what John Robinson did to kind of kickstart his roster retool back in 2016. Like, that's another thing that you'll have to think about if you're the Titans. Of course, Joe, then you could also get into, well, yeah, who's there at number three overall if that's where you end up? Like, is Travis Hunter there? Would that be worth selecting if you're the Titans at that point? There's a lot that you have to walk through, but there's a few different ways that this could work to your advantage if you're Carthon in this front office.
Yeah, I mean, if you happen to get three, and we, you know, we've talked about, like, the Patriots not going, obviously not going QB at two.
Yeah.
If they're two, and someone really covets that second QB who didn't go, then yeah, you might be in good shape. But like you said, there is also, you know, if Travis Hunter's there, I mean, that's an appealing possibility. I mean, I think he's going to be a dynamite player in the league. But yeah, I mean, I think if someone really coveted that QB, then it would be hard to resist moving down. It is interesting, you know, think about what Charles said about this draft, you know, and just how it's just not good overall. Like, people just don't think that this draft is very good. So yeah, if you drop down to the second half of the draft, are you amid a bunch of guys, none of whom have first round grades? Maybe, but I mean, but if it's also like a huge crop of people similarly graded well into like the second round, and you can pick up three or four of them, you know, then okay, you need that.
No doubt. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Speaking of highly picked quarterbacks, there's one the Titans just saw that I'm very curious to see what his future looks like. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.